Beloved congregation, we have heard this morning that the resurrection of Christ is ascribed of the three divine persons. That it was the work of the Father in raising up his dear Son, Jesus Christ, out of the grave, because Christ had satisfied the justice of his Father. It was also ascribed to the work of the Son, where Christ had the power to lay down his life, but also to take it again unto him. And now the resurrection is also, in the third place, the work of the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit separated Christ forever from death and has sanctified and glorified Christ completely. In Psalm 16, there it was already prophesied that Christ's flesh would not see corruption. And now that Christ is completely glorified, where he was before made sin, but now in the resurrection the Holy Spirit has declared him in public to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And therefore, on the day of resurrection, it has pleased the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to glorify Christ in the heart of the women, but also in the heart of the disciples, that the darkness in which they were before was taken away from them, and that their soul came to a wonderful solution. My text for this evening is again in Matthew 28. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Thus far, we have in that portion of God's holy word in this evening, in the first place, an announcement. In the second place, a commission. In the third place, an easy task En in de fourth place een wonderful surprise. Dus een announcement, een commission, een easy task en een wonderful surprise. That angel that came from heaven at the morning of the resurrection had said not one word to the watchmen. They all go away, they fled away in haste, but they were not privileged to hear one word out of the mouth of that angel. In other words, congregation, the Lord had no word for them. An awful thing. That is something that have to say much to us too. We are all travelers to eternity. And if the Lord let us go in our own way, and he had no word for us also in this, that the word of God preached or read, that it never had any influence in our heart. What an awful, awful thing it is. With the women, it was so different. That angel that was sent by the Lord with an announcement to those women. To those women who were seeking Christ and him crucified. Those women who could not live without Christ, and their only hope and their only expectation that was upon that Christ. They don't know whether that they ever would see him in this world, but still he was in their heart, and their heart that was open for him, and there was nothing that the soul desired, nothing else than only the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was to a certain extent, it was also a surprise for those women that that angel explained what their life was. We have no evidences that that angel had informed something of it. No. But immediately when he, in the name of the Lord, took away that fear that was in their heart, then he said, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Thus, in other words, in heaven, the life of God's people is known there. And then that announcement, he is not here. For he is risen. In other words, he was there for 3 days, but now he is not here. He was here to satisfy the justice of his Father. He was there to pay off for all the sins of his people. And he was there for that reason also, that Christ would sanctify the graves of his people, that he would take away from them that fear to die and that fear to be buried. The devil can attack that people many times with that. And there can be much strife in the life of God's children about it. But that angel said, he is not here, for he is arisen, as he said. He had told you that already, not once, but he had told you that many times when he was with you. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. There's that angel that invite those women to come in that grave. And of course, there was something involved in that invitation. The linen cloth and that napkin that was on the head of Christ, that was there laying in that sepulchre. And they have to see it. They have to be persuaded for their own heart that Christ had taken away the sin of his people, that his work was done now. He had finished, you read that already in John 17, he had finished the work that the Father had given him. And therefore, come, see the place where the Lord lay. It was no more a place to be shocked and to be afraid. No. Come, see the place where the Lord lays. In other words, be persuaded that he was there, but no more, and that he lays there, but now risen from the dead, now glorified by his Father. He is no longer a worm and no man, acquainted with grief and with sorrow. No, that time that is gone. He is now justified in the Spirit. And you can realize that angel in short words that he had explained for them the way of salvation, that he had explained for those women the benefits of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the resurrection of Christ, that is the justification of all his people, that is the sanctification that is guaranteed in him only, that is the victory over all his enemies, sin, devil, world, hell, unbelief. Christ had conquered all these things, and that to the eternal welfare of his people. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then also the resurrection from the state of death, what Christ had merited there for all his dear people. And finally, in the resurrection of Christ is also a pledge of the blessed resurrection of all God's children at the end of the world. Dus je kan wel realize, congregation, wat een wonderful announcement that angel had brought to those women. And then afterwards, in the same time, they received a commission. Because that angel said, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. With Easter, there is always something in that respect that have to draw our attention, that the first revelation of that angel and also of Christ himself, that was to a woman. I have read to you this evening about the revelation of Christ to Mary Magdalene. And then of course later on, those other women, they also were surprised by a personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the disciples, no, but well the women. In the Old Testament, those women, they were laying under an awful punishment. Eve was the first who had eaten of the forbidden fruit. And in the old dispensation, there was always a separation between man and wife, even when they were converted. They have to bear in the Old Testament day what they have done in paradise. They were also, to a certain extent, they were separated in the public services. That is still in the synagogue of the Jews in our days. There is still a separation. But Christ, when he came in this world, in his resurrection, then he had taken away the punishment that was laying upon women. And the Lord had greatly privileged those women, greatly, to reveal himself at first unto them. You see here the riches of the grace of God to women, more than to men in that respect. It was even as that the Lord had said in his resurrection, those women, for so many years, they were living as under a veil. They have to carry the result of their sin so much. An heavy punishment that was laying upon them in their life. But now they were the first unto him that the tiding and the message of salvation was brought. Now, in the dispensation of the New Testament, there is no more separation between man and wife. Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians that they in Christ are one now. And no more separation as that there was in those olden days. And now also these women who were there on the sepulchre, they were privileged to tell the disciples that Christ was risen from the dead. Thus, not a personal announcement, but they received it through the women. And of course, there was also some reason why that the Lord has done it. The disciples, they have promised to stand by Christ. But they all have forsaken him. There was not one that remained and abides with him. They were very unfaithful. With the women that was different. Because when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, that they buried Christ, then of course the women were also present there. Where those other ones were, John was by the cross and Calvary, but by the burial of Christ you do not find him too. And now those disciples, they have not to wait so long, no, because the same day they were privileged with a personal revelation of Christ. But nevertheless, there was something to observable in how that the Lord handled and treated those women and those apostles. But he said, and go quickly and tell his disciples. In the Gospel of Mark is Peter special mentioned. There that easily said, tell it also, Peter. Because that Peter that was in the mind and in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God is from eternity to eternity. And there is in the love of God never any changing. Even that we sinned away in our life as Peter had done, to deny his master. But nevertheless, the Lord, he loves him with an everlasting love. And Christ, he know, because he is, as a Son of God, all-knowing, he had known that Peter had such a need in his heart to hear something about Christ. That man that was in those days so troubled that he almost could live because it bothered him day and night what he had done. And then the devil was also in between. That devil say to him inwardly, you never shall have any visit of Christ. You never shall hear any word of Christ. That is all done. That is an eternal separation now. You can realize when Christ looked to him, then he wept bitterly. But I believe for firm, that he had cried 3 days, day and night. Day and night. Because in his life he had showed that already. That he could not live and that he could not die without Christ. And therefore tell it also Peter. That he so quick as it is possible. That he received the tidings that I am alive now. That I am risen from the dead. Those other disciples, they need it also. Because they were in a condition as a shipwreck. They were in a condition that they were close by the brink of despair. But tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. That was of course a reminding what the Lord had told them already before that he died. That the shepherd shall be smitten and that the sheep be scattered away. But that he would arise and that he would show himself in Galilee. Not in Jerusalem. No. Not in Jerusalem. Why in Galilee? Galilee, that province, that was one of the lowest provinces in Palestine. That was a province that lay as in a valley. And it was also a place and a part of the country that was despised by the people. And now Christ would reveal himself there in that lowest place, in that despised place. The disciples, they have also to come in the depths. They have to become sinners, unworthy sinners in himself. And if they are now persuaded of that for himself, really persuaded of that, then that glorified Christ that would reveal himself unto them. But of course, there is no something in between congregation. The revealing of Christ in Galilee, that was in the latter part of the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension of Christ into heaven. That Christ the same day nog would reveal himself to the disciples, he did not tell that to the women. No. That angel did not told them to it. No. That would happen the same evening, that would be the greatest surprise they would receive in their life. And of course, it was for the women It was an easy task to bring that message to the disciples. Easy. We have read to you this evening again, as we do usual, the 12 articles of faith. And one of the articles is, I believe, the communion of saints. And the communion of saints congregation that is grounded and founded in Christ, only in Him. It is flowing out of Him, because the church is one in Christ Jesus. And now that happens much the last times between the disciples and between the women. Much. The strife was awful. The temptations very high. And still, congregation, the devil could it not bring so far that there came a split in the church. That means a split in the invisible church. The devil never, he had tried well, endeavored to do it, but the devil could never come to a point that the disciples separated them one from another. And that those women that they say to live now further with such unfaithful people, no. We break all connection up with them. But they have not done it. I believe that through this deep way that the Lord held with the women and with the disciples, that through those deep ways that they came closer together. And therefore an easy task that the women could bring that tiding to the disciples that Christ was risen from the dead. They were glad to do that. And for your imagination, you see him there in the streets of Jerusalem to visit all the disciples where that they were and to bring them that glad tiding that Christ was risen from the dead. For himself it was a joy that they heard that Christ was risen. Still they have not seen him personally, no. But they have believed the word of that angel that Christ had swallowed up death into victory and that he now was glorified by his Father. That gave already a joy and a gladness in their heart. The least revelation of the gospel people that make God's people joyful. But of course, the promise is not the promiser. There is a difference. And now those women, they have the promise that he was living, but still when they went out and quickly out to bring that tiding to the apostles, to the disciples, then they still for himself, they have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But still, there was a joy, a rejoicing in the heart of those women. And you can see in the Word of God that the result of the gospel, that is always joy for God's children. There is a lifting up of the head, as you read that in Psalm 3, that Christ lift up the head of his people, and that they also rejoice hearing that the Lord is alive, that he is risen from the dead. Before, it was in darkness, it was in strife, they were in so much debts for himself, debts. There was so much that filled their heart with sorrow. There were so many question marks in their life. How this was and how that was. But now, as soon when that angel said he is risen, then, let I say it in this way, congregation, then they were risen with him. They have almost no more curse to live. They don't know why that they no still have to live in the world. But now they believed that he was risen, and they went to the disciples. They were obedient to the Lord. They have no objection in what way. They have nothing to bring in. But they were willing to bring that tidings to the apostles and the disciples of Christ. And it was living in the hearts of those women that we sing together out of 260, all ye that truly love the Lord hate sin, for he is just and pure. To saints his help he will accord, and keep them in his love secure. Number 260, the stanzas 5 and 6. And then you read in verse 8 of this chapter, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. There was a great joy, but still there was fear, because congregation, there was no something missing in their heart. It had not come personally to a solution. And that was the reason that they went quickly with fear and great joy. And they ran to bring his disciples word. They ran. They were in a hurry. In the hurry. Why? Have you ever thought why that they were in the hurry? The quicker that they could come to the disciples, the less opportunity that the devil had to come in between. Because the devil, he is always trying to come in between. And therefore the text said they run to the disciples. But it say also, it means also in our text that there was a desire in their heart, a strong desire. Not that they could do that, no, we can do nothing in that respect. But as an instrument of the Lord, that we can comfort God's people, that they shall have hope out of what the Lord hath revealed unto us. They run to bring his disciples' word. Thus, they know how that the condition was in the heart of those disciples. In other words, congregation, they were no strangers from one another. No. I cannot remember as boy when we came in company with old children of God. Then they asked, when they came in the house, they asked one another how that it was in sight. How that it was in the country. And with that word country, they refer to their heart. They ask not whether that a queen was reigning of a keizer, and how many centers that there were. No, but here, in sight. And now that is the women, they know perfectly how that it was with the disciples. It is possible, congregation, it is possible that met with the Sabbath day that they have not have meet one another. And when they have left one another, that they have thought, oh, what is that people in the dump? What is that people down? Shall there be anyone in the world that can talk to them, that they have a little encouragement, that they have a little hope? So they have left one another. But now they return to bring his disciples' word. And then, obeying the commandment of the Lord and that commission, this congregation, when they were in the way of the Lord, in the right way of the Lord, And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Just before that they came to the disciples, Christ revealed himself unto them. All hail. Wat een surprise, Pieter. Wat een surprise. And now they have no much more to tell the disciples. Because if they have nothing else, it was well great of course, but if they have nothing else than what that angel had said them, then it was possible that the disciples say, oh, no, no, it is an angel. It is not the Lord himself. But now also that objection that was taken away out of their heart, Christ meet him with them. All hail. No reproach. No hard word. No. All love. And all peace. Jesus met him, saying, all hail. Who shall explain, congregation, what it was for the disciples, for those women, that they saw their Christ before? And then immediately, because if the Lord come, the Lord himself come, he bring all things with it, all things. He took away from them all their objections, all their unbelief, all their discouragements, all their struggles. When Christ meet the disciples, then it cost a time before that they really did believe that he was the risen Christ. Maybe this week that we hear something about it. I don't know, but it's possible. But of those women, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him, it took a second, humanly speaking. And all those women, they lay there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. They grasp him. They hold him. And they worshiped him. The darkness was immediately taken away from them. And there was no nothing in the way to believe that he was risen from the dead. That he was the same with whom they have lived for 3 years. They held him by the feet and worshipped him, admiring him as a son of the living God. Christ had to say no more, as only the words all hail. He had not to eat a piece of meat or broiled fish. He had not to show his hands, his feet, and his side. Nothing. Thus, it was for those women much easier as for the disciples. Eh? Yeah. You ever thought, why? Why? Or not? The Bible, that is a wonderful book.
You never come to an end with it.
No.
And it is so remarkable that time and again you can realize what a mountain that is for a minister to preach week after week. Then become Friday and Saturday, and as sometime on Saturday evening that you shake your head and that you say, what shall it be tomorrow? What shall it be tomorrow? Because to preach that is something you never can learn that. No. Even that you go 20 years to college and 30 years to university. No. But you know what the surprise is, people? What a surprise is that the Lord opened the scriptures. That is a surprise. And as sometime few words. I talked this morning about that stone and that angel was sitting upon that stone. I thought yesterday about that a little, the meaning of it. And that it is such a privilege that now a child of God received that privilege in his life to sit upon that stone too. That he is aware of the complete victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the reason that you never come to an end, people. No. If you have to do it with ourselves, then we were for years and years are retired. Really. For years and years. We had this one of our churches, a man years and years ago, he said this once to me, I cannot imagine that a minister can stay longer in a congregation than 1 year. He said, if I have to a congregation that I have to take care of, he said, I think within a year it was all done. And that is true. That is really true, people, if we have to do it. If we have to do it. But if the Lord take care for us, if the Lord come on the foreground, yeah. They held him by the feet and they worshipped him. Is that not strange? Is that not strange what you read here? Because I read this evening something else to you. In regard to Mary Magdalene, then Christ, he said to that woman, touch me not. And to this woman, Christ gave him freedom to hold his feet and to worship him. But Mary was not privileged to touch him. In the case of Thomas, was it also different? You know that man, he was not an unbeliever. No, no, no. No, no, no. He was true believer, but he was in the snares of unbelief. And you know what he say to the other disciples? Oh, he said, no. No. I never shall believe. I have to put my finger in the mark of his nails. And I have to lay my hand in his side. I am not as you. It says ook in your religion, he said to the disciples. It says ook. Yeah, you are not mere reformed, hoor. No, but that light faith you have ook taken upon you. You believe ook somewhere everything. Yeah? Because if you're not on our right place, then we beat other people up, no. Spanking. Yeah. Really, hoor? But then Christ, he said, handle me, touch me. I give you the privilege to take your finger in my hands and to lay your hand in my side. You can do it. And why now? Not by Mary Magdalene, and well by those other women. You know why? I tell you, in the first place, I think that Mary Magdalene, she was privileged there before to do that. Not now. Not now. There is in the Greek language, there is, yeah, I cannot Greek, you know that. But I found that by Bishop Ryle. He knows Greek. But in the Greek language, there is a word for touch. And that means not only to hold fast, said that Bishop Ryle, but he said that word that means also to stick, to fasten, to attack. And now that Mary, you know what role have taken place. The other women, they go away from the grave, she stayed there. As he must have Christ, whether dead or that he was alive. That was so strong in the heart of that woman. So strong. Emotional. And now Christ said, touch me not. Stay away from me. You have now seen me. You know that I am Rabboni, your master. Let that now be enough. Because otherwise, it was too dangerous. In the condition in which that woman was, touch me not. Those other women, they hold him fast. They could do it, but not see. For those other women, it had no wrong effect. And then, of course, the main thing was also that Mary Magdalene, you have to learn to live by faith. And not by sight. And she was so stuck, so cling to the bodily presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after his resurrection, that was in a different condition. Christ was now a person. who belong more to heaven than to this earth. And that were all reasons why that Christ said, touch me not. But for those women here in Matthew 28, a great surprise. And now you can see, congregation, how wonderful and how lovely that the Lord is for his children in this world. And that the whole thing that goes over and about Christ, the personal knowledge of him and the personal applying of him to the heart of God's children, that Christ is our life for time and for eternity, and that in Christ is the answer of all the questions, but also the solution of our soul. I have to stop for this evening. The day is far spent, and everyone have to go to his home. But I hope that it is not in vain, congregation, that we were together in this Sabbath day, whether that we shall live another Easter, that is in question. And whether that we shall hear that gospel again, we don't know. But what we have heard in this Sabbath day, I hope that it be a blessing for our heart and for our soul. I hope, young and old, that it never shall testify against us in the day of days. And that the word of God, that it touched our heart, that it brings us to the right place, that we may learn with all our guilt and sin, and with all our wretchedness, and with all our emptiness, that we may learn to come at the feet of him who is willing to save us, and who is able to save us to the uttermost. Young and old, go to your home, go in your inner chamber, consider what you have heard in this day, and the God of all grace sanctify it to your heart, and that it be a blessing, an eternal blessing, and those that have learned something of it, that we not stay by the message of an angel, but that the necessity of the personal revelation was bound upon our heart, and that we have no rest at all till that Christ reveal himself unto us. And that Christ is given from the Father to us, for wisdom, justification, sanctification, and perfect redemption. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony for our heart and for our soul, where it is preached today in the right way, that it be sanctified to many souls. Remember the whole congregation with offers bearers, with our school and teachers and with the children, with the families in all the needs, in all the trials, in some families especially. Also in the week that lay before them, what shall come up. But Lord, that we together as congregation, that we bear one another's burden, fulfilling the law of Christ, and that is not only for that those families who were involved in that fire, but for other families too, in all the difficulties and in all the troubles which there are. Remember each and every one Prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and peace, and hear us at the pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 280, O my soul, bless thou Jehovah, and what follows, 280. Thank you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.